model effective communication and interviewing while studying the personal finance skills of financial knowledge, financial literacy, and financial competency are especially important. Financial counselors will not get the opportunity to share that insight unless they can help the client be receptive to it. They cannot educate willing clients on these skills without a solid foundation of how best to communicate. Interviewing is a formalized type of communication. Financial counselors will spend more time interviewing than any other activity. It is the most important activity they will perform since all other parts of the counselor-client relationship depend upon the results it generates. Note that the discussions in this area are intended as a study primer for the ASC exam. Effective counselors should seek out and read resources in these areas on their own and also consider other forms of formal training. A good place to start is with the resources related to communications and interviewing on the ASC exam book list. See the bibliography for full citations. Financial Counseling, Editors Durband, Law and Mazzolini. Financial Counseling, A Strategic Approach, 3rd edition, by Polvino and Polvino. The Social Work Interview, 5th edition, by Kadushin and Kadushin. Developing Helping Skills, 3rd edition, by Chang, Decker, and Scott. Facilitating Financial Health, Tools for Financial Planners, Coaches, and Therapists, 2nd edition, by Klontz and Klontz. Differentiate Communication versus Interviewing. Conversations and interviews have much in common. They are both discussions, and since people have a lot of experience having informal discussions, they may assume they are naturally able to conduct an interview. However, interviews are more formal than conversations, and some ways of conversing are inappropriate or inefficient in an interview. One key difference is that, unlike a conversation that could go anywhere and still be successful, interviews have a purpose, as is addressed more elsewhere. Another difference is that while a conversation often takes place between friends or coworkers who may share many similarities, interviews often involve a counselor and client who come from very different backgrounds and social statuses, which requires more delicacy. Also, an interview has an explicit promise of confidentiality within legal and contractual limits, while a conversation does not. Unlike a conversation, interviews have roles, interviewer and interviewee. Even if working to equalize the relationship, the interviewer has more power. Both parties have roles to play. The counselor is accountable for what occurs in the interview. While conversation has no need for a record, an interview requires the counselor to take good notes about important information that is shared and decisions that are made. Also, the counselor must listen more than talk, or they will not get the needed information and insight. A good counselor who works hard to create a positive relationship with a client may have some influence over the client's willingness to share. This leads to the client's role, which is to openly share information about themselves or their issue. The interview cannot succeed regardless of how good the interviewer is if the client chooses not to fulfill this role. Understand the sender-receiver model and noise. The sender-receiver model of communication can be illustrated as shown in Exhibit 1-2, and a number of its key terms are defined after the exhibit. Exhibit 1-2, Sender-Receiver Model of Communication. Sender-Receiver Model of Communication. A model that describes communication as a dynamic two-way process that occurs whenever a person is speaking to a person who is listening. It addresses the process of the speaker encoding the message in words or another format, the noise that can distort the message, the process of decoding what the person said, and the feedback that the listener provides to indicate relative understanding when they become the speaker in turn. Sender. The person who initiates a communication, and in a conversation or interview, this will refer to the person who is currently speaking or using other forms of communication. Receiver, the person who is hearing a message or is otherwise getting and interpreting a message. And in a conversation or interview, this role will shift depending on who is listening. Message. In the sender-receiver model, this is the content that is conveyed from the sender to the receiver and can take the form of verbal and nonverbal components. Encoding. In the sender-receiver model, the process that the sender uses to express their intended message, which can take verbal and nonverbal forms. Decoding. In the sender-receiver model, the process that a receiver uses to interpret a sender's message and make sense of it. Noise, any distraction or interference that disrupts the effective transmission and reception of a message during communication. Feedback. In the sender-receiver model, the receiver's response to the sender that provides the sender with information on the degree to which the message was understood. It is essential for overcoming noise. The counselor and client take turns being the sender and the receiver. The sender is the person speaking, and the receiver is the person listening. After a message is sent, it cannot be unsent, and the sender has no control over how it will be received, in part due to noise, which will be discussed shortly. Exhibit 1-3 shows how the counselor and the client take turns being the sender and the receiver as a conversation proceeds. It also addresses how noise can play a part in each exchange and how feedback is important in determining whether or not the intended message is the message that the other party heard. The real process involves many exchanges back and forth as both parties seek to get on the same page. Exhibit 1-3, example of the sender-receiver model in action. The counselor considers whether saying a given message will maintain or improve the relationship. The counselor must decide how to phrase the message so it will make sense to the client but also without talking down to the client. The client's culture, vocabulary, financial competence, and other factors that are known at this point in the conversation all play a role in what is said and how it is said. The counselor chooses the words they will say and conveys this using nonverbal messages and pacing the conversation in ways that seem appropriate. Nonverbal communication and pacing are addressed elsewhere, but these are all things that people do intuitively to help express their intent. After the sender transmits this message but before it gets to the receiver, noise may play a role in what actually gets received. This can be actual noise or it can be many other things. Think of it like signal noise that distorts an electronic transmission. Some of this can be improved upon by using better spaces or by paying more attention to nonverbal cues, while others are more difficult to fix. Here are some types of noise with examples. Physical noise, background music, busy traffic outside a window, or air conditioner noise. Physiological noise, hard of hearing, speech impediment, or speaking too quietly. Psychological noise, sender or receiver is tired, in pain, nervous, not listening, or distracted. Receiver is not in the right place in their change journey. Example, in denial, subject causes anxiety or shame, or would alter their worldview. Semantic noise, different cultures and different socioeconomic levels interpret nonverbal and verbal cues differently. Example, pleased with yourself could mean proud to one person or stuck up to another. The words could include unfamiliar jargon. The language may be a second language, or the client's cultural background/framework can impact perspectives on personal finance and money values. After the client receives a message, they become the sender when they respond. The client will encode a response that may have some additional communication issues. The client may not be able to put into words some of their feelings, attitudes, or other information they wish to express. The client will also consider what is socially appropriate to say in this setting, will make judgments about the counselor's culture and so on, and may also self-edit responses out of a natural tendency to present a positive and acceptable image of themselves to others. As the conversation proceeds and the client becomes more or less comfortable with the counselor, the client may or may not decide to share some of the things they self-edited. The sender's response to what they hear becomes a form of feedback to the receiver. Feedback is the only way that the receiver can determine whether the intended message was actually received. Feedback is the only solution to the inevitable noise in all conversations. By paying attention to people's responses, the parties get closer and closer to what is actually meant. Interviews have a purpose. Being prepared for an interview includes beginning the interview with the end in mind and being proactive. However, it is important to differentiate between keeping the general purpose of the counseling session in mind and never deviating from the agenda for a session. The general purpose of a counseling session is to understand the client and their goals and/or advance those goals. The counselor should steer meetings to stay on track for this general purpose. The client may have goals for the session. The client is entitled to change goals between sessions or during a session. Even if the counselor made an agenda for a session based on what was on an intake form or what the client said they wanted to cover, if the client wants to discuss something else, the counselor needs to adapt. The purpose of the interview could be informational, such as a financial counselor participating in research work, but more likely this purpose is evaluative and/or to affect positive financial change. Evaluations are needed to assess the nature of a specific individual's issue. Creating positive change in the financial lives of clients is the ultimate goal of financial counseling. Keep steering the interview back toward this purpose. Mentally go over this purpose before the meeting and communicate this intent at the start of the interview. Review whether this purpose was achieved in the end. It is important to be prepared for an interview. Have an agenda and resources ready to facilitate that agenda. However, know that client issues or problems can have multiple factors, and a client may want to explore new areas. The varied process of the interview can result in the discussion going in an unexpected direction, so begin with the end in mind but respond to the situation dynamically. Be prepared but flexible. The client's goals might only be elicited by interviewing. This can be done in a deliberate manner. The interviewer chooses what to emphasize, what questions to ask, and what to ignore while applying various communication tools. A counselor's conscious use of communication skills is like tweaking the rudder of a boat to stay on course. Interviewing skills are important when seeking to learn about a client and their issues. Counselors should not only seek information about the client's financial experiences, but also how the client interprets and responds to such experiences. The purpose in this case is to gain empathy, to see the situation from the client's point of view and see past decision-making trends, so the counselor can help the client foresee the potential impact of their current decisions. The concept of interviews having a purpose extends to efficiently using the allotted time for the session. While clients should be talking more and counselors listening more, a client who is prone to ramble can derail the purpose of the interview if the discussion goes off on tangents. While avoiding direct interruption, the counselor can find a time to redirect or refocus the conversation. For example, wait for the end of a sentence, then remind the client about the purpose of the interview. A good way to do this is by summarizing the important points of what they said to demonstrate that the counselor was respectfully listening while emphasizing those points that advance the interview's purpose. Have an attitude of acceptance to enable receptivity. An attitude of acceptance is necessary for developing a positive relationship with a client so that the work can be productive. Part of this attitude is to empower the client. Acceptance empowers the client while recognizing the client as the primary individual in the counseling relationship. The effective financial counselor accepts the client where they are at. The counselor helps the client achieve what they can be and wish to be. The counselor is concerned not with blaming or judging behavior. These create defensiveness, but with understanding. Seek to understand the reasons for a client's behavior. Rather than looking for the good or the bad, look for the real and the actual and talk about this in an open, honest, and caring way. Reject being moralistic or disapproving. Be kind and empathetic, recognizing that people are often not kind to themselves and may already be putting feelings of shame or inadequacy upon themselves. For example, a client may feel shame for not having met goals set in a prior counseling session. An attitude of acceptance can take the form of diffusing rather than reinforcing this negative thinking. A counselor can model positive thinking, such as looking at any amount of saving as being a positive step, even if a goal was not met. This will help clients open up and share more of their financial story. How does this relate to the counselor's role in assisting the client to achieve their personal financial goals? First, focus on the behavior, not the person. Acceptance does not prevent making an assessment and eventually facilitating change. The counselor must consider that the positive relationship is the fundamental building block that must exist before such work can succeed. Be respectful, attentive, and caring, not critical, aloof, or patronizing. In truth, a counselor may not always feel so accepting, but it is their professional duty to act accepting.